This is a production of Memberchare Media, a ministry of TWR. It's copyrighted and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. This is Brent. We're in our fourth segment of our series on sexual wholeness with my friend Paul. And we started the whole issue of sexual history. And Paul was doing an incredible job, and I sort of jumped in and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, this isn't about intensity, is it? And when we kind of talked about how to begin talking about it with people around you, but we wanted to come back and spend some more time talking about sharing this whole issue of sexual history. So go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I think that when we had finished our discussion, I think that the importance of looking at the history is not so that we run out and tell everybody everything that we've done or every event that happened. I think the most important thing that we start to share with other people is the feelings and the self-statements. What if I began to say about me? What do certain things mean to me? You know, for a lot of men, you know, sex and sexuality becomes associated with nurturing and caring. So that what they're really desiring, what they're longing for, is nurturing and caring. Usually then what happens is they're pursuing some kind of sexual behavior, and people don't understand why. So if they're told, no, you can't have that, then they feel rejected. They think, oh gosh, you don't love me, you don't care about me. Well, that doesn't normally make sense unless we can sit down and have that conversation. If we can say, you know what, there's times I feel empty and lonely, like there's nothing that can make me feel better, to have those conversations. And it's important to be able to talk about the history with somebody. But the most important thing is not all the awful things that happened, although it is important to have someone to talk to about those too. That's not the most important. The most important are the feelings and the self-statements. Finding the person to talk to about it, someone safe. If it's not someone in your neighborhood, someone that's physically close to you, using email, beginning to email with somebody. And again, you don't have to email all the events. What you email and you talk about is how your sexuality's been shaped. How do you feel about certain things? Because usually how people feel about, I think you said it last time, how I feel about my sexuality transfers. If I feel like I'm shame, if I'm worthless and I'm no good in areas of my sexuality, I'm going to feel that same way when I make a mistake, too. It transfers. It doesn't just stay on the sexual area. So being able to talk.
One thing that brings up in me is the whole issue of who are we talking with? And I think we need to be a little bit careful about who those people are. Not necessarily by who they are in one way, but I mean the gender of who they are. Because I've been down the road long enough to know that there are topics that you don't talk as a man to a woman as a resource outside of maybe, for example, therapy or something. Because a lot of times you get into some of these intimate areas. And what happens is that there is a real sense of release and trust and affirmation. And we have people that come in for counseling that say, you know, they just started talking to a coworker who was, you know, a guy says, well, you know, she was there. She was friendly. She smiled. She always dressed nice because we were at work. And so I just started sharing. That's the first woman that I ever felt close to. And that's how affairs start. So right. What we want to be careful and caution you is that this isn't about email and even emailing to a woman. If you're a guy and you're trying to talk about these things, I think it's better as a general principle that you focus on finding guy resources.
Absolutely. Yeah, having a male that we can talk to for men, and a lot of what we've focused on has been men, but women struggle with this too. For women to be able to talk to women, and men to be able to talk to men, to have a conversation with someone who you trust, who's safe, who's in your circle, but then maybe not so in your circle that it's going to be awkward for you, but someone who can hold you accountable. Who loves you enough to encourage you to keep moving forward in this. And the key thing is someone that you trust. And to be able to go back over that history, not, oh gosh, I'm so worthless, but to go back and say, you know what, if you haven't prayed over those areas, to pray over those areas. If you haven't sought forgiveness, to seek forgiveness. But even to thank God that in spite of all those things, look where we are today. So many people who are so gifted in ministry, or in their jobs, or in their occupation, a gifted teacher, and whatever they're doing, they're great in their jobs. You know what? They could be great fathers, they could be great mothers, and they struggle in this area. And what they think is this one area makes me worthless. Instead of saying, well, no, wait, in spite of struggling in this one area, look what God has done in my life. To look over the history sometimes is to say, wait a minute, look at how great God is. To go through the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Didn't love it when I was in seminary, but love it now. Wish I'd listened more then. But if we look over the Old Testament and we look at the history, you know, we can look at it with one set of eyes that says, look at this mean, awful God. Look at these awful things that happen to these people. Or we look at it with faith eyes that say, wait a minute, look how faithful God has been. God's been faithful. The importance of looking at the sexual history, sharing it with other people, is to get free, but to realize that God's been working in our lives throughout all of that. In spite of our behaviors, God works through those things. And to get free. For a lot of people, their sexual history may involve things like being molested that they've never shared with anybody else. People out there holding that secret, that even as we're talking about it right now, feeling uncomfortable, don't want to hear even those words, have never shared it with anybody else. Those are secrets that keep people in bondage. To be able to share that with somebody else. Most of our history is not our fault. You had shared something that a lot of times we find things by chance. A common denominator with a lot of men in pornography is the first time they came upon it, they came upon it by accident. Came upon it by accident. They either found it in a trash bin, they were walking down a country road, and they saw something sitting off the side of the road, and they went over there and walked, or they went into someone's attic. I was talking with someone from Africa who had said they were off in Africa, and they looked off over in a bush somewhere, and there was something sitting there. They walked over as a kid, and it was a beta movie in pornography. And it just had the cover. But that was their first exposure to something like that. So usually what happens is that first time, the first time it happens, it's not them seeking it out. It wasn't their choice, but it does start a pattern. So to be able to look at it and then share those things with other people. Again, what we talked about before, normalizing it. Saying, wait a minute, I need to talk about this. I need to talk about it. I need to share it to help people around you understand, to understand areas where you're weak, so that you can have support.
That's so true. The issue here, once again, let's put this in a bigger context. The issue is not to identify people who can shame us again.
Absolutely.
The issue is not to repeat that shame history, but the issue is to identify people that can come around us as resources. As the saying goes, there's wisdom in many counselors. Now, I don't like that when it talks counselor as a professional. What I think it means is more of there's wisdom in many people offering help and insight. They are friends. They are all kinds of people around us. And it keeps what was in darkness, what was secret, it keeps it out in the open. And when it's under the scrutiny, it loses its power. Have you ever noticed that?
Hey, man, once we start to share, I think what starts to happen is that now my secret's out. There's a saying, we're only as sick as our secrets, that once that becomes out, it's out into the light. We can talk about it. The shame begins to get broken. I think the key thing that you had said too, Brent, is finding people who are trustworthy. There are people who are gifted, who have great abilities, who aren't trustworthy in these areas. Either they have hang-ups or maybe they've been shamed. It's having someone who can speak the truth in love. It's not going to someone who's just going to say, oh, well, that's okay. But someone that says, wait a minute, you know, I love you, and I'm going to walk through this with you. Doesn't need to be a professional. I mean, my counselors, you know, as you said that, the two guys popped into my mind. I've got one that owns a window cleaning business and the other that's a landscaper. Those are my counselors. They're my closest buddies. They're totally unimpressed with the fact that I'm a therapist, but they love me.
Yeah.
And we're able to speak the truth in love to each other. When I'm with them, I'm not a therapist. I'm another brother in Christ. And we have those honest conversations with each other. And I think most of us have those people. Sometimes people are waiting for you to be honest, for you to maybe take that step, to say, hey, will you come alongside me and work on this with me? What I saw when I started to work on issues in my sexuality, it impacted my friends. It impacted my friends. You know, some of them kind of got irritated with me because they'd say, well, my wife's been talking to your wife and she's so happy that you're working on these things and my wife's asking me questions. Now, why is she doing that? but what's happened is as I began to look at areas in my life, it impacted my friends too. They began to say, wait a minute, hey, these are some areas where I need to change.
Right.
And we were able to talk about it together. So I think finding people that you can share it with, people who are maybe struggling in the same area. If you have people close to you saying, hey, you know what, let's get together once every 2 weeks. Let's get together once, even once a month, ideally once a week, to say, let's get together and start to talk about what our history's been, but more important, let's talk about what we desire, how we desire to be whole.
And that's a really good segue into our homework, which, as you started your list last week of people that you want to maybe talk to, think about regular people, normal people around you that you can begin to think about being open about some of these issues that are bothering you with. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this Member Care Media presentation. We hope you found it helpful. Please explore the many other topics on this website. We invite your comments and your suggestions. This feature may not be reproduced without written permission.